Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, January 13th, 2015, episode 10.40, the Divisional Recap Show, also known as Man, Steven Was Bad Last Weekend. The best weekend in football is over, and it's come to an end. And although I loved every single minute of it, I came out on the losing end on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's right, even last night, the team I was cheering for couldn't get a win. John Elway blows up the Denver Broncos and sits and awaits Peyton Manning's decision. Jerry Jones makes it rain for the Cowboys coaching staff, yet he makes an uninspiring offer to the league's leading rusher. The Bills and Jets have new head coaches, while other teams are still looking, and the New York Jets have a good old boy. Plus, I'll recap the four divisional playoff games as I sit here and wonder how I can go from 4-0 to 1-3. I guess I'm just going to have to blame Joey since he's not here today. Let's chomp it in, people! Chomp it in! Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Welcome back, folks, wherever you are and however you are listening to this podcast right now. Thank you for coming back to listen. I'm Steven Miranda, and the divisional round of the NFL playoffs is over. Four teams left, three games left. And after this weekend, there will be two teams left, and then the final game, Super Bowl 49 in Arizona, which I will be fortunate enough to attend, covering the game for Sky Sports News. I tell you what, it was harsh weekend, mostly because one on Saturday, the one team I did not want to see win, found a way to use trickeration to win. And beat the Baltimore Ravens. On Sunday, the one team I obviously always want to see win got a raw deal. We'll talk about that, and they didn't win their game. And then on Monday, the first ever college football playoff, Oregon versus Ohio State, Pac-12 versus the Big Ten. I really thought Oregon had a great shot of going in there and winning this football game, but then over the weekend, they had a couple running backs suspended because they did not pass drug tests, and they were short wide receivers. So they had players dropping balls. The stage and the game was just too big for them, and they just could not make it a game, and they just could not stop Ezekiel Elliott. Man, that kid was amazing running the football for Ohio State. And you got to give it up for Cardale Jones, too. This guy was playing in his third ever. He was starting his third ever collegiate football game, and he just kept – if you play Madden on Xbox or PS4 or wherever you play it, and you know the term truck stick, he was the constant definition of the real-life truck stick as he kept just running over people to get first downs. Big, strong guy, Cardale Jones. And everybody is saying, well, does he go back to school next year? I mean, he just won a national championship only having beat one Alabama. Nobody gave him a chance. And then high-flying, high-powered Oregon. Nobody gave him a chance. And, and he's a national champion now. This kid who only played three games all season long, he was the third-string quarterback. How on earth he was the third-string quarterback for Ohio State, I'll never know. And he just dominated people. He showed a gun of an arm. Why not come out? I mean, if he's a junior, come out now. Come into the draft. Throw your name. I know people say, but he only did it for three games. So what? He's a national champion. You want him to go back, and who knows if he even gets the starting job? Because the Ohio State Buckeyes and the coaching staff have to decide. There were two other quarterbacks that they had before Cardale Jones started. So they are Jones the guy now? Are they going to guarantee him the spot, a starting job, if he comes back? What happens to the other two guys? Lots of questions remain there for Ohio State. One thing I know, Ezekiel Elliott should really consider leaving college football and entering the NFL draft, because his stock cannot get any higher. He ran with authority. He ran like a man possessed. He was a beast in that college football game. And if you guys have not seen the Oregon-Ohio State first ever national championship playoff game, it was pretty phenomenal. Oregon comes out of the gate, scores on their first possession. You're like, man, that was awesome. Some people said, man, Dez Bryant held on to the ball longer than that first drive. That was my favorite tweet of the night, because they looked amazing. Then after that, their offense sputtered. They couldn't do anything. Their running backs clearly were not their top choices, because they just could not move the football. And Ohio State, even though they committed four turnovers, were still able to win 42-20. You did not hear me incorrectly. Ohio State had four turnovers in that football game, and they still won by 22. That was amazing. So anyways, that was at the collegiate level, the first ever national champion in the national playoff, college playoff system. And the Big Ten gets the award. The first ever team is Ohio State to win that trophy. Congratulations to them. It was pretty amazing game to watch. Now, before I get to the four NFL games of the weekend, let's talk about some NFL news. We'll start with Denver, as the Denver Broncos and John Elway said that he wants to see and he hopes to see Peyton Manning back with the Broncos next season. But what he did do while he waits for Peyton Manning to make his decision about football, and I'll give you my thoughts on what I believe Peyton Manning should do. But John Elway, he was asked why John Fox was no longer the coach of the Denver Broncos, because in case you haven't heard, John Elway blew up the team, got rid of John Fox, the head coach, and all of its assistants and coordinators, and literally said, we are going to start anew. And Elway said, I think the main thing between John and I was we disagreed how to get to the next level, because we accomplished so much, four AFC West championships. I think the biggest miss between us was how we are going to take that next step and what it was going to take to get to that next step. That's where the disagreement came from. And so after talking, and then Elway, after talking with head coach John Fox, they mutually decided to step back and part ways. And Elway said that he was disappointed by the losses, not just to the Seahawks in the Super Bowl last year, but the Colts this year. And how they lost those games. He said they weren't even in it. And it's true. They got beat down in the Super Bowl last year, and the Colts really took it to them this year. And if you've got the same personnel, the same players, you have to look at why did we lose so poorly when we had great, great regular seasons. And it comes down, I guess, to the coach. And Fox is now gone. But trust me, he will not remain unemployed very long. He's already en route to Chicago to meet with the Chicago Bears. The Bears are going to interview them for their head coaching vacancy. Speaking of Peyton Manning, and all I can say is, first of all, before I say anything else, Peyton Manning is nothing but class. He is pure class. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him, and every single time I've interviewed him, he has been a stand-up guy. He's been very amazing. It's been great for me to be able to watch him play football. And I think I've said it before many times on this show, how I feel what he does pre-snap and what he does at the quarterback level is unparalleled. It's unmatched. And I really think he's a great quarterback. But it turns out that this final game, he was playing with a torn quad. That's difficult to do. But regardless of whether he's playing with a torn quad or not, he just hasn't been the same in the postseason. And this past week against the Indianapolis Colts, he just looked like a different guy. He was missing, overthrowing players on the deep ball, underthrowing them on the short passes, and he just didn't look comfortable. And what I know about Peyton Manning and how much of a fierce competitor he is that he's always had fun playing the game. And I know as a competitor, that's not how you want to go out, but if you watch the game against the Indianapolis Colts this weekend, Peyton Manning, to me, not only has Father Time caught up with him, and he's no longer able to throw the ball the way he wants, he's just not having fun out there anymore. There was a time where I saw him, and he's probably thinking to himself, I'm just too old to be out here doing this. And it's a sad thing. It catches up with all of us. I know because I'm at that point where just running around with my daughters. At the end of the day, I'm just so dang beat up and tired trying to keep up with them. And I'm not getting hit by 300-pound linemen. I'm not getting hit every down by linebackers blitzing and rushing me. And Peyton Manning is. And at some point, you got to be like, you know what? I'm done. I don't feel well. I'm not physically fit enough to do the things I could do. There was a play in that game where Peyton Manning could have run for probably 10 to 15 yards and get a first down. Instead, he chose to throw it. There was literally nobody in front of him for a good 20 yards. And he could have, and he needed 6 yards to get the first down. All he needed to do was get those 6 yards and run out of bounds. Nobody would have hit him. But he just physically said to himself, I can't do it. I will throw it instead. He threw it high and outside. The receiver caught it. Unfortunately, he was out of bounds, and they didn't get the first down. And everyone's saying, why did he throw that? He could have run for 10 before being touched. And it's just that physicality, your body. Mentally, you might be thinking one thing, but your body's saying, yo, dog, you're not spring chicken anymore, man. You're not that young. You can't do that anymore. And I know how that feels. I know how it's felt. And I think that Peyton Manning is going through that right now. And he's going to have the tough decision after evaluating this game against the Colts whether he comes back and plays another year. If he does that, that's going to cost the Denver Broncos $19 million. And they have to decide, do we want to pay $19 million to a guy that we've seen him at his best and that his best isn't his best anymore? That was not Peyton Manning on the football field. That was, I would say, 1/16th of Peyton Manning on the football field. And that's why the Indianapolis Colts crushed him. I mean, they got the score wasn't that big. I mean, if you look at the score, at the end of the day, the Indianapolis Colts got away with a 24-13 victory. But for all intents and purposes, it was a blowout. The Broncos were never in that football game. So Peyton Manning has to evaluate that. He's going to have to make a decision whether he retires. If we've seen the end and the last of Peyton Manning, I wish him all the best, man, because I think he was a phenomenal player, and he'll pretty much be able to do anything he wants to after he hangs up the cleats. So good luck to Peyton, and John Elway will just have to sit and wait until Peyton Manning decides what he wants to do. But I will give Peyton, if it was his final game, a nice round of applause. All right, Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys were eliminated this past weekend against the Green Bay Packers, 26-21. I'll get to that game in a moment. But first, Jerry Jones has decided to make it rain. He's just putting money out there for his coaches. First off, Jason Garrett and the Dallas Cowboys agreed to a 5-year, $30 million contract. Can you imagine if they had won that game and they got to the NFC Championship game? Jason Garrett, $30 million over 5 years, being reported by NFL.com. Garrett's going to return as the head coach. But the other thing, the Dallas Cowboys also reached an agreement with Rod Marinelli to stay on as the defensive coordinator. There were lots of reports that Rod Marinelli might be headed to Tampa Bay to reunite with Lovie Smith. But nope, he stayed. He wanted to stay. The Cowboys wanted him to stay. It's a big, big catch for the Dallas Cowboys that they get to keep Rod Marinelli. His was a 3-year contract that he will stay on as defensive coordinator. So I think it's pretty good for the Dallas Cowboys, and I praise them that they're keeping their coaching staff intact. At this point right now, a lot of coaches are moving. There's a lot of assistant coaches moving and moving on and getting other jobs. Well, the Dallas Cowboys have decided they want to keep their coaching staff intact. They're trying to see if they can get Linehan to stay as the offensive coordinator. And if that happens, then all three main coaches will come back for the Dallas Cowboys, which is big. Now they have to worry about signing their players, players such as Dez Bryant, DeMarco Murray, and that is who I turn to right now. The Dallas Cowboys are playing with fire right now as they have made an offer to running back DeMarco Murray. This is being reported by NFL.com and NFL around the NFL writer Chris Wessling, saying that the Dallas Cowboys offered DeMarco Murray a 4-year deal worth just a little more than $16 million overall. Not $16 million a year, but $16 million overall. That is just a little over $4 million per year. Ah, man. I mean, to me, I understand where the Dallas Cowboys are. I know cap-wise and financially, they don't have a lot of space. They don't have a lot of money. But that is almost a slap in the face. This is a guy who you allowed to touch the football almost 500 times this season. He had a career-high 497 touches, all right? Now, yeah, you worked him out. You worked him a lot, and you made him run his butt off. And he you know, line of scrimmage, scrimmage yards, he broke a franchise record for most scrimmage yards in a season, rushing yards in a season, and that's fantastic. But the best you could do, and what Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are telling me, that the best they could do for DeMarco Murray, a guy who was, I don't know, I'd have to do the math, but it's got to be something close to 60% of the offense, is only worth $4 million a year. I could guarantee you that there are going to be some teams out there that if Murray decides to test the free agent market are going to pay him a lot more than $4 million a year. And I can tell you right now that that's what DeMarco Murray is going to do. He's going to test the free agent waters, and I can guarantee that someone is going to come up with a number so huge that the Dallas Cowboys are unfortunately going to be forced to let him go. It'll be interesting if they do that, because if he goes, where do the Dallas Cowboys do? I mean, I'm not sure there's that much of a running back market coming out from the collegiate ranks and in the NFL draft. Adrian Peterson most likely will be out there, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people vying for his services as well. It's tough. It's tough because, you know, they have to sign Dez Bryant. I know that that is a guy that they cannot allow to let go. He is someone that the Cowboys are keen on keeping. But I think it's going to take a lot more than $4 million a year over 4 years to keep DeMarco Murray. We'll see what the Cowboys do. But I think right now that was a very uninspiring offer and almost a slap in the face to a guy who really worked his butt off for the Dallas Cowboys. All right. Two teams have head coaches. There's a lot of teams out there that don't have head coaches yet. But two teams already have made a decision. The Buffalo Bills, they decided to stay within the conference and have hired none other than Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan, who previously coached the New York Jets from within the division, is going to go over and now be the head coach for the Buffalo Bills. The crazy thing about this, my friends, is that with Rex Ryan coaching the Buffalo Bills, he will play against the New York Jets twice every year. What does that mean? That means that Rex Ryan is going to do everything in his power to make the decision for the New York Jets to let him go be pretty bad. I think Rex Ryan now has enemy number one, who is still and will remain Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. But now he'll have enemy number two. And the Jets have hired Todd Bowles as their head coach. He has become enemy number two and the New York Jets. So expect the Buffalo Bills and Jet versus Jets games and Buffalo Bills versus Patriots games to be highly competitive and be really good. And as I've said, the New York Jets have hired former Arizona Cardinal defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. That is official. Albert Breer and Ian Rappaport of NFL.com have confirmed that he is accepting a four-year deal with the New York Jets. He is going to sign the deal most likely tomorrow or today, Wednesday, if you are listening to it. The Jets hired general manager Mike Maccagnan, and he's the one who decided on Bowles. I think it's a great move. I think the Arizona Cardinals defense was fantastic this season, even with some injuries to some key personnel. Todd Bowles got the best from that unit, and he is going to be a fine head coach. I applaud the New York Jets for thinking out of the box, and I also applaud them for looking at a minority candidate. It's going to be tough for Todd Bowles because the New York fan base and the New York media is tough, so I wish him all the best there. And all I can say is, Todd, beat the Patriots and the Bills, and you will be loved by everyone there in New York. So that's that. Finally, before I get to the four divisional playoff games, we have a good old boy.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm.
You know the man never meant no harm.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day he was born.
Yes, running back Chris Johnson of those very same New York Jets I've just been talking about faces a misdemeanor gun charge. Apparently, Johnson was in Orlando, and Orlando police say that they pulled him over on Friday, January 9th. And while the officer approached the vehicle, he said that he saw a firearm between Johnson's feet. Let me just stop there for a second. He said he approached the vehicle and he saw a firearm between Johnson's feet. Now, sit there and think about this for a second. You get pulled over. Now, you know, okay, you know that you have a gun on the floor in between your feet. Now, I'm not saying reach down and pick up the gun. No, not while you're being pulled over by a cop. But you, at the very least, with your feet, push it under the seat so that it's not visible. Now, before everybody gets all crazy and out of whack, I do not condone that you carry a firearm out in the open in your vehicle. That is not what I'm saying. I'm not about that. And, you know, I used to have conversations with Jeff when he was the co-host a lot about vehicles and having guns in your vehicle. And if you do have that, it's locked up and it's in the trunk and the locked up sealed gun carrier, and it's not available for anyone, and you're the only one with the key and it's locked up. Yes, fine. As long as it's in the trunk, cool. But what you do not do is you do not have it out in the open, on the floor of your car while you're driving in between your feet. But if you do, if you are moronic enough to have that said gun out in the open, on the floor, in between your feet, when you get pulled over, please hide it under the seat so that it is not visible. That is all I'm saying. Gosh, how can you be that dumb that you see a gun at the base of your feet and cops are approaching your vehicle and you don't quietly slide it with your feet back under the seat that you're sitting on so that is not visible? I don't know. Oh, gosh. Anyways, the carrying an open gun is banned in the state of Florida. So this is not good for Chris Johnson. We've had many players do stupid things with guns, and let's see how Chris Johnson gets out of it. The Jets signed Johnson to a 2-year, $8 million deal last year. This year, he was okay. He wasn't fantastic, but he was not fantastic, but it wasn't a horrible year. It just wasn't a great one. He only rushed for a little over 660 yards. Had one touchdown. They didn't utilize him as much. I think he may be done. This guy had a promising career. I remember when it was CJ2K. Now it's like CJ maybe 700, maybe 750. But this is a pretty dumb move by him. And to get arrested in the state of Florida for having a gun out is just pretty bad. That's it. That's all the news that's fit to print right now. There's a lot of coaches still out there. The Chicago Bears, the San Francisco 49ers, all still looking for coaches. And there's, you know, interviews happening all the time. The Atlanta Falcons still looking for coaches. It's crazy. It's crazy. So go out to NFL.com, take a look at their coaching tracker, and it will tell you everywhere coaches have been and where they're going to and who's interviewing who. Very, very interesting stuff. All right, now it's time to get to the four divisional playoff games. We start on Saturday where the Baltimore Ravens headed to Foxborough to face the Patriots. Oh, man, what a game this was. It was just as I thought for a while. The Baltimore Ravens went into New England and they had no fear. They weren't afraid of the Patriots. It wasn't that big. Joe Flacco comes out, fires four touchdown passes. They took a 14-0 lead. You think, wow, man, they're going to take complete command of this game. They didn't. They let the Patriots come right back into it. And the next thing you know, it was 14-14. And so you're like, wow, okay, this might get away from the Baltimore Ravens, because, you know, you take a 14-0 lead on the road and you should be able to finish it out. But they didn't. Like I said, Baltimore came back. New England came back, tied at 14-14. But just before the half, they were able to score a touchdown to make it 21-14, and they have a nice 7-point lead going into halftime. Well, they come out after halftime, third quarter, and they score another touchdown to take a 28-14 lead. You're like, man, it's the third quarter, two touchdown lead. You're on the road, it's pretty good. But no, a couple of mistakes, interception by Flacco, and the New England Patriots employed in the third quarter some trickeration, a nice wide receiver pass. Tom Brady throws it behind the line of scrimmage to Julian Edelman, who then unleashes a 51-yard bomb to Danny Amendola for a touchdown. Then after another short drive by the Ravens, Tom Brady and the Patriots employed some sort of trickery where they had only four offensive linemen on the line of scrimmage. Now, the cool thing that they did was Shane Vereen, who is an eligible receiver, by the way, as a running back, reported himself as being ineligible. And he then was on the line of lined up kind of like split away from the offensive line, kind of like where a slot receiver would line up. But what the Ravens didn't catch is that even though he was out there, he was ineligible. They didn't have to cover him because he couldn't go out for a pass. He had reported, I am a person who has an eligible number, but I am ineligible as this play because I'm going to be a lineman. You have to have five offensive linemen. But because he reported so late that he was ineligible and the refs reported it so late, the Ravens didn't have time to react to that. So they covered him, and it just left some other tight end wide open, not Gronkowski, the other dude. And the Patriots moved down the field pretty quickly, scored a touchdown, tied it 28-28. Then the Ravens went back, and they marched down the field, but the drive stalled. They were forced to kick a field goal. They made it 31-28, and then it was time for that vaunted Baltimore Raven defense to do its thing. You got a three-point lead. Not a lot of time left. Let's get her done. Let's put this game away. And they just couldn't. Tom Brady marched down the field. March. And throws a very nice touchdown pass to Brandon LaFell and takes a 35-31 lead. Baltimore Ravens have some life left. They have about 4 minutes and change with some timeouts. And the crazy thing is, the Baltimore Ravens and Joe Flacco had been patient all game long, taking all the short stuff, short passes, short runs. Justin Forsett did pretty good running the ball. I think he had over 100 yards, 129 yards rushing. It was a very nice balanced attack. But on that final drive, Joe Flacco decided not to be patient. He tried to throw a deep ball, and it got intercepted in the end zone, and that pretty much sealed the deal for the Baltimore Ravens. New England escapes with a 35-31 victory over the Ravens, and now they get to host the AFC Championship game. Kind of like it's we'll do whatever we have to do. If we have to employ tricks and craziness where we only have four linemen and we line up a running back as a lineman and we do all kinds of craziness, that's what we got to do, then we will do it. And they did. They did whatever they had to do to win the game. And that's what you got to do in the playoffs. You got to make sure that you're willing to pull out all the stops because the Baltimore Ravens, they were playing some good football. Harbaugh got penalized because he had to run out when the New England Patriots were kind of employing those little tricks. Harbaugh recognized it, and he had to get up there. He had to tell the refs that they had to do something. They had to give the Ravens a little bit more time in announcing the ineligible players. They weren't giving the Ravens the proper amount of time to react to that. The league has since come out and said that the Patriots didn't do anything illegal. Tom Brady was even so brash enough, as Tom Brady usually is, to say, well, those guys over there need to read the rule book. Okay. All right, Tom. True. They do need to read the rule book. But for some of you out there who say that I hate the New England Patriots, it's not that I hate them. I just don't think they're that special of a football team. And I'll just go out and say what nobody's saying. When you have to employ these types of tricks and this type of deception to be able to help your offense out, I think you know, and the coach knows, he doesn't have that great of a football team. He doesn't have that great of an offense, and he has to employ these types of tricks. Now, they've got the Indianapolis Colts. I tell you that this defense is going to be ready for these types of tricks. And it's going to be a good football game. I can't wait to see Indianapolis go out there and see what they can do against these New England Patriots. Going to be fun. So 35-31 there. The New England Patriots move on, and the Baltimore Ravens and Joe Flacco are forced to go home. I'll say one more thing, though. Torrey Smith, the wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, I don't know what he was thinking on that final play. Joe Flacco basically throws the ball, and he throws a deep bomb down there. And, yeah, there was a safety deep. But Torrey Smith has to make an attempt at that football. He can't just look at the safety and allow him to intercept the ball. He has got to know that if this is intercepted, we lose this football game. I got to go up there. I got to try and do something. I would have much rather he just tackled the guy and gotten called for offensive pass interference. Do that. At least you get to keep the football for another play. Instead, he just watches them pick up the football like if nothing. He's got to make a better effort at trying to break up that pass. Once again, the final 35-31, New England Patriots move on, and they will be hosting Indianapolis. The final game on Saturday, the Carolina Panthers travel to Seattle to face the Seattle Seahawks, and I'll tell you what. The Carolina Panthers might have lost this football game. And, yeah, it's by 14 points, 31-17. But look, this game was a lot closer than the score indicates. And you got to give it to Cam Newton. He basically put his team on his shoulders, and he tried to power him through. And was it not for that interception by Cam Chancellor that was returned 90 yards for a touchdown, this is a lot closer ball game. That was the one throw. That was the one throw that Cam Newton, I bet you, wishes he got the ball back. Seattle Seahawks offense still is not as impressive as it was last year. They're missing something, and they are powered right now strictly by their defense. It is the defense of the Seattle Seahawks why they are winning football games. They put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They get after you. They bump you. They're physical. They're in your face, and that is why Seattle continues to win games. The minute that defense shows a chink and the chink in armor shows up for the Seattle Seahawks on the defensive side of the ball and an offense exposes them, it's game over because the offense for the Seattle Seahawks isn't potent enough to get into a shooting match. We'll see if Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers will be healthy enough to get up there and give us that kind of a football game. The final there, the Seattle Seahawks 31-17. Doc Rob, congratulations, man. I hope that for you they pull out another victory so maybe we can see you in the Super Bowl in Arizona again. Final, 31-17, Seattle now hosts the NFC Championship game while the Carolina Panthers will go back and hopefully the Panthers will assess that they need to get Cam Newton some help. They need to get him some wide receivers. And I think as their GM said, there will be no shopping at the dollar store this offseason for Carolina. Let's hope he is right. All right, on to Sunday, where the Dallas Cowboys traveled to Green Bay to face the Green Bay Packers. This was the game everybody was talking about the weekend, not only before, but after. I know every single one of you right now is waiting to see what I am going to say about how this game ended. And all I've got to say is I will say to the Dallas Cowboys, like I said to the Detroit Lions, one single play does not win or lose a game for you. And as Chuck Knoll always told his players, play better than the ref's ref. That's all I've got to say. The Dallas Cowboys had plenty of opportunities to dismantle the Green Bay Packers. They could have run away with that football game. That game was theirs for the taking, and they let Green Bay hang around, and they didn't pressure an immobile Aaron Rodgers who was hopping around on one foot, barely could walk on one leg, and they didn't get it done. Everybody will talk about that Dez Bryant catch, and I call it a catch. That is what I'm saying. If you are out there listening to this podcast, and you are listening, and you are saying that that was not a catch, you're wrong. I'm just telling you right now, that was a catch. Brother caught the ball in the air, came down, stepped three times, lunged and stretched the ball to try and score a touchdown, and the ball came out when it hit the ground after he had already possessed it. And the fact that the referee in the interview after the game told the pool reporter, we're not questioning the possession. We're questioning whether he maintained the ball through the process of going to the ground. What a bunch of bunk. That was a catch on any planet, any day of the week. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go so far as any universe or any universe out there in the galaxy that we know of, that was a catch. Okay. Now, once again, the Cowboys put themselves in a position where they let the refs make a call that determined their outcome. Even after that, they could have gotten the Green Bay Packers off the field and try to force them to punt, get the ball one more time. They couldn't do that. And I can lead you to other places where the Dallas Cowboys could have won this football game. At the end of the half, there was a six-point swing there. They wound up losing by five. So there's your 6 points right there. They had a chance of kicking a field goal. They missed it. Then they let Green Bay get in position. And mind you, by the way, there was a catch there that they gave to Randall Cobb that hit the ground. That was not a catch, but yet they counted it as a catch. Go figure. And then the Green Bay was able to kick a field goal. So instead of 17-7 at the half, it was 14-10 at the half. Big difference. Then come out the half, they stopped Green Bay. Green Bay got the ball first. They forced them to punt. Then they start marching down the field. They're near midfield. Everything's looking good. They got a good drive going on. It's a chance for them to go up 21-10. Instead, DeMarco Murray fumbles. Really? In a playoff game of this magnitude, you're going to fumble? He did. And got to give it to the Cowboys. They held Green Bay to just a field goal again after that fumble. Made it 14-13. They still had the lead. Then they went on a very impressive drive in the third quarter and scored a touchdown, made it 21-13. But then they just could not seal the deal. They couldn't get after Aaron Rodgers. This was the guy, you saw him. He couldn't hardly move. He was barely hopping around on one leg. And the Cowboys in the second half never blitzed him. They never blitzed Aaron Rodgers. That tells you how much the Dallas Cowboys are going to have to go out this offseason and work on their secondary. Because if you can't trust that your secondary is going to be able to hold their wide receivers down and blitz an immobile Aaron Rodgers who couldn't move around and wasn't going to escape the pocket because he couldn't run, if you can't trust your secondary to do that in that situation, then you don't trust your secondary ever. And that was part of the big problem for the Dallas Cowboys. I can't believe they didn't set any pressure at Green Bay. They decided to just rush three or four all the time. They didn't send any 5-6-man blitzes. Just crazy. Crazy to me. I'm sitting there saying, I don't understand how you don't trust your guys at least a couple times to get after Rodgers, who is immobile and cannot move. Didn't make any sense to me. And he picked him apart because he had all day back there just to wait. I don't got to move. My five linemen are better than your four defensive linemen right now. They're not giving me any pressure. Oh, look at that guy. Just came wide open. Boom. Devontae Adams, there's a catch. Randall Cobb, there's a catch. Hat tip to Brandon Carr, who pretty much neutralized Jordy Nelson. He didn't do anything, but everyone else got schooled. And that's something that the Cowboys hopefully will focus on this offseason, getting their secondary to be better. That is going to be very important because they're going to be able to – they're going to have to at some point be able to apply pressure with more than just four guys coming after the quarterback. Final there, Green Bay 26-21. Hat tip to Aaron Rodgers. Brother, if you can ball like that when you just have half a leg, that is impressive. Aaron Rodgers – in that second half, throwing the football with laser-like precision, even though he was just on that calf, he just could not apply any pressure. I think he got a very nice shot at halftime that kind of kicked in midway through the third quarter when he started throwing some of those lasers. So Aaron Rodgers looked good. But if the Green Bay Packers are going to go up to Seattle with an immobile Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to be pretty because I can guarantee you that one thing Seattle will do that Dallas did not is blitz, because they trust their secondary with Sherman and Earl Thomas back there. And those guys, they trust them. So they're going to send guys at Aaron Rodgers. And if Aaron Rodgers cannot move, he is going to get pummeled. So hat tip to Aaron Rodgers for playing that tough. It's tough. And as Tony Romo said, this is one that's going to hurt. And they're going to have to find a way and figure out a way to get their defense on track. Final game, and that means the Green Bay Packers will travel to Seattle. It is the first game Sunday on Fox, 3:05 Eastern Time, 12:05 Pacific Time on Fox, first game Sunday. Now, the final game was probably, to me, the most lackluster of all four games, the Denver Broncos hosting the Indianapolis Colts. Indy came to play. You know, that's all I can say about this game. Indy came to play, and Peyton Manning was not Peyton Manning. He obviously picked a very, very bad day to have one of his worst days as a quarterback. Peyton Manning was 26 of 46 for 211 yards. He had one touchdown, no picks, but he had a fumble. And he just was never sharp. For Peyton Manning to be 26 of 46, that's a lot of incompletes. 20 incomplete passes for Peyton Manning is pretty unheard of. Meanwhile, on the other side, Andrew Luck, 265 yards, two touchdowns. He rushed for another 21. He did have two picks, but they were like punts. They were on thirds and longs. He just threw it long, and they were like 40-yard punts every time he got picked off. Which was not that bad. The other thing, Boom Heron, catching the football out of the backfield, running the ball. Heron had another 8 catches for 32 yards. He was just utilized. And I think the big news is, and I don't know if you heard this before the game or not, Trent Richardson was inactive for Indianapolis in this football game. That shows you what the Indianapolis Colts think of Trent Richardson, and I guess they're not really happy with that trade. They're probably going to have to move on from Trent Richardson, but that was that. He wasn't needed. He wasn't needed. Andrew Luck was sharp. He was clean. He was crisp. Between him and Manning, he was definitely the better quarterback of the day, but as we found out after the game, Manning was playing with a torn quad. That couldn't have been very easy. And as I said earlier in the show, Manning just didn't look like he was having a whole lot of fun. It didn't look like it was good for him. And that's too bad. I wish him well, and whatever decision he makes, I wish him the best with it. 24-13, the final score, Indy over Denver. The Colts will now face the New England Patriots in the AFC Conference Championship game. Going to be good. Going to be really good. It's going to be some good football on Sunday. All I've got to say to the Denver Broncos is it's regroup time, especially with Elway blowing up the coaching staff, and you got to start from new. And before you start from new, you're going to have to figure out, is Peyton Manning coming back? And if he's coming back, how are we going to be able to sign? You know, they got some free agents, both the Thomases, Julius, the tight end, and Demarius, the wide receiver. They're free agents next year. So if Manning comes back, are we going to keep those guys, or are those guys going to test the free agent markets? Very, very sad to see Peyton Manning walk off the field the way he did. But that's the way this game is. Father Time catches all of us. All of us. You may hide for him for a while, but eventually he will catch you. Look at Dick Clark. He looked like he was 30 for 50 years, but eventually even he got caught by Father Time. He no longer does his New Year's Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve or whatever that thing is called. Now it's hosted by Ryan Seacrest, which, please God, don't make me have to look at Ryan Seacrest for another 50 years. That would not be good. That's all the time we've got, folks. Real quickly, this week, hat tip to Joey Valle, who finished the week at 3-1. The only game he missed was the Denver Broncos. I, on the other hand, was a very disappointing 1-3. The only game I got was the Seattle Seahawks. I took a couple underdogs that had a chance. You got to give me at least the fact that the Baltimore Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys had chances to win their football games. And I missed Denver. They never had a chance. They were never in their football game. So that's the way it goes. The good thing for the fans is they are still alive. They are still alive. Here's the challenge game. The fans are now one game away. It's 10-9 with 2 weeks left. So here's the deal. If there's a fan out there who will go against either one of my picks this weekend, there will be a chance that the fans can beat me. If the fans that are out there agree with my picks, then it'll go down to the Super Bowl to see whether the fans can tie me. But that's the best we'll be able to do. However, if I win this week in the divisional round, I win the challenge game over the fans. It's going to come down to the end, just like it always does between me and my co-host. It comes down to the end. It's been a lot of fun picking games against the fans and playing against you guys. It has been a great season. I can't wait. I can't wait after this round. I'll be heading out to Arizona. We'll be there for the Pro Bowl. The coaching staffs have been secured. The Baltimore Ravens coaching staff will coach the AFC. The Dallas Cowboys will coach the NFC now that the Dallas Cowboys coaches are under contract. But the Broncos were the team that should have sent their coaching staff for the AFC. But like I said, John Elway blew up that coaching staff. It's no longer there. So the league reached out to Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens, and they will do the honors of coaching the AFC. So I'll be able to see my first Pro Bowl ever live. I'm excited about that. And then I'll spend a week on Radio Row in Arizona at the Media Center for the NFL, covering the league for Sky and TalkSport UK. And then I will be there for the Super Bowl, and it'll be my fifth Super Bowl. First Super Bowl was Super Bowl 45 in Dallas. Here comes Super Bowl 49 in Arizona, my fifth one. And I said 20, people. I said I want to do 20 in a row and then hang it up. So I'm going to be a quarter of the way there after this Super Bowl 49. Thank you for listening. Thank you for continuing to come on and download the shows. We see the numbers. They're still really, really good. I appreciate each and every one of you. I'm Stephen Miranda. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves, and I'm out.